We just really want to take the opportunity to thank Rav Simon for joining us this evening. Just really the fact that he consistently, year in, year out now, has really become a tradition. In fact, as Rav Simon keeps made a point of coming over to me and really was so generous in offering to come and join us again this year. And really bespeaks something that I know that I've benefited and learned from Rav Simon just sort of being around NYU, which is that just his tremendous dedication, commitment to Talmidim, to Velka and Sharim, to being available. It's incredible just to see the wide range of people that turn to him, that come to his Yishur Yomi, Yishurim in general, that approach him for matters of halacha, and personal advice as well. And really, it's just a tribute to his commitment to just being there, to having an open mind. And that's something that I just sort of a little bit from afar now. We're starting to have a little bit more of a catch here. It really has been something that's really been uplifting for me personally, and really is something that we really appreciate. And the fact that Simon takes the time out of his very busy schedule to come every single year is, again, reflective of that commitment to coming. People want to learn Torah, to really just be open to sharing and to joining us year in, year out. So it's really tremendous chus. It increases certainly our Simchas Yom Tov and Zman Simchas Dino. I want to thank Simon for coming.
And thank you, Rabbi Sineski. It's a pleasure to be here once again. It's always a big schus to be able to come to Einstein and Talmud Moed Sukkis and share some Divrei Torah and Halacha in Agada. And so once again, I'm very privileged to be here. Today was the Yortzeit of the Vilna Gaon, third day of Talmud Moed Sukkis. And I always feel that Sukkot, there's so many Divrei Torah, specifically from the Vilna Gaon. I mean, there's so many Divrei Torah, Vilna Gaon, and everything, but I don't know, somehow Sukkot and the Vilna Gaon go together. And I'd like to focus different things from the Vilna Gaon. As you'll see, a lot of it has to do with the Vilna Gaon's Torah, put it into a certain perspective to understand certain halachas in Hilchas Sukkah, together with the Hashkafa that we can learn from the Yontif of Sukkos. The Torah tells us in the first page in Parshas Re'eh, Chaka Sukkos Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim Ba'os L'cha Migor N'cha U'mi'ikvecha, that the Sukkos, you should celebrate 7 days, and it's the time when we are gathering from the all the produce that was already harvested, and we gather the produce on Sukkos. In fact, the Balei Tosfos and the Chasam Sofer write that if you look at the three Yom Tovim that we have, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, so Sukkos, it says three times in the Torah, between Emor and Re'eh, that it's a Zman Simcha. And on Shavuos, it says it one time. Pesach, it doesn't say it at all, which is interesting, because Sukkos, the Rambam writes, the highlight of Simcha is on Sukkos, the Simchas Pesach Shaleva, of course. But the simple pshat, the Mefarshim write, is very practical from the farmer's perspective, that Sukkos, he's already harvesting and bringing in all the produce from the year's toil, and all the grains are finished, and all the fruits of the trees are finished, and they're all ready to be brought in. So therefore, it's Zman Simcha Seinu from that perspective. Whereas Shavuos, we start already, some of the grains are already ready to be gathered. So it's a little bit of a Simcha. And on Pesach, nothing is ready to be gathered. Pesach is the beginning, that it's beginning to blossom. So Mela, it's not mentioned at all, the Simcha by Pesach. So Sukkos comes at this point, and the Gemara makes an interesting comment on Sukkah and Daftesa Meralef on the second page. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshis Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Minayim La'atzei Sukkah Sha'asurim Kol Shiva, that the sukkah has different parts to it, the schach, the defanos of the sukkah. So the Gemara says that the wood of the sukkah, the atzei sukkah, and we'll soon shortly see what that's referring to, the atzei sukkah, the wood of the sukkah. Is it referring to the schach of the sukkah? Is it referring to the walls of the sukkah? Is it referring to both? But whatever it is, the atzei sukkah are asurim kol shiva, meaning that if you would want to use the sukkah for some other purpose, meaning dismantle part of the sukkah and use it, you need an extra piece of wood, or you need a, in the old days we had bamboos, now they're becoming out of style, everyone uses mats, but if you want to use a mat for something or a bamboo stick for something in the middle of sukkahs, so that would be a Torah prohibition to go ahead and dismantle the sukkah, or even part of the sukkah, to use that the part of the sukkah for something other than the mitzvah itself. So that's what the Gemara says. Minayin latzei sukkah shasurim kol shiva, Talmud Lomar, chag hasukkos shivas yomim lashem. That the chag hasukkos shiva yomim lashem, what does that mean? Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir Omer, kishem shachal shem shamayim al hachagiga, Kachal Shem Shemayim al Hasukkah. So just like if you have a korban chagiga, an animal that was designated to be a korban l'mizbeach, and you say that hareiz a korban, this particular animal, so now you can't use this animal for any mundane purposes. It has to be brought as a sacrifice on the mizbeach because it's kodesh. So just like. And now the word chag, the Gemara's understanding, we use chag in modern Hebrew, chag, you know, chag Purim, you know, chag to mean just a holiday, a festival. But in the Gemara, when they understand the word chag, it means from the Lashon Chagiga. A korban chagiga was brought, a special sacrifice was brought on the time of the holiday. So therefore, that's why it's called a chag. Rosh Hashanah always likes to point out the other. Usages of Chag, like Chag Chanukah, Chag Purim, is just the colloquialism of that. It's not the technical. Chag means, as Rav Shach always points out, Chag is the Korban Chagiga. So just like the Korban Chagiga has Kedusha, so too the Sukkah has Kedusha. In fact, the various different Svarim, I think they even say it from the Gra, the two mitzvahs that we do with our whole body, is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva Basukkah. These are the two. And a lot of Hasidish Svarim point out that Sukkah has special Kedusha, and like some Me'ain of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. A lot of the things have been written on this topic. But there's a Kedusha to the Sukkah. And Kishem Shem Shemayim al Sukkah, Kachal Shem Shemayim. So it says, Chag Hasukkah Shivas Yomim Lashem, Machav Lashem, Hasukkah Lashem. And this, as we said before, this halacha that the Atzei Sukkah or Asur is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh, what exactly it's referring to. If you take a look on page 3 in the Rambam, the Rambam writes, Atzei Sukkah Asurim Kol Shmonas Yimei Achad, Bein Atzei Defanos, Bein Atzei Tzchach. It's referring to both the Defanos, both the walls and the Tzchach. They both have this din of Chal Shem Shamayim, and therefore the Rambam writes, Ein Neosim Behem L'Dover Acher Chol Shmonas Hayomim, V'nei Sheyom HaShvi Kulo Hasukah Muktzah Bein HaShmoshos, V'ol Muktzah Bein HaShmoshos, Shal Shmini Muktzah Chol Hayom. In other words, really, it should only be for 7 days, because Sukkah, the Yantar for Sukkah is only technically 7 days. So why is it also on the eighth day? So in Chutz La'aretz, the eighth day is still a suffix of the seventh day. That's why B'nai Chutz La'aretz sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, if you sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, you get Malchus, because you violate Bal Tosif. You know, everyone agrees that Shemini Atzeres is not a day to sit in the sukkah. It's just Chutz La'aretz, we sit in the sukkah in Shemini Atzeres because it's a Tzveikah D'Yoma of the seventh day. So therefore, we sit in the sukkah. So, but what about in Eretz Yisrael? They don't sit in the sukkah on the seventh day. Yet the sukkah is still usher on the eighth day, even though the eighth day in Eretz Yisrael, no one is allowed to. At least the Israelis are not allowed to sit in the sukkah on the eighth day. So why is it usher b'hanah? So the answer is because still you're sitting in the sukkah the whole seventh day till the end, including the Bein HaShemoshos. And Memela, once you were sitting there Bein HaShemoshos, and it's also Bein HaShemoshos, that triggers off the entire next day to be also, since it's used as a sukkah during the twilight period between the seventh and eighth day. But the Rambam clearly says that it's referring to what? Bein Atzei Dfanos, Bein Atzei Schach. However, the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh on page 4 disagrees and says, V'ad Asiri Atzei Sukkah Einu Davka Haschach. In other words, it's only referred to because the Ikka Sukkah of the Sukkah is the Schach, even though a Sukkah without the Fanos is no good. You know, so everyone agrees you need the Fanos and the Schach. The only question is, how do you view it? Do you view the Fanos as a requirement that's not really the Etzem HaSukkah, or is it part of the Etzem HaSukkah? There's a discussion in the Chaim about it, but he says that it's really only the Isser of using it is only going on the Schach. And he says that he's coming to argue with the Rambam that says that it's referring to both the Schach and the Tfanos. And in Shulchan Aruch, you look on page 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, Atzei Sukkah Asur, Chol Shmonis Meachad, Bein Atzei Dfanos, Bein Atzei Haschach. So the Din of Chal Shem Shemayim Al Sukkah, that the Sukkah has this special Kedusha, like a Korban, that it can't be used for any other purpose. So is both the Schach and the Dfanos. There is a discussion in the Poskim, to what degree does this Isser extend? Say, for example, I want to lean on the wall of the, wall of the sukkah. Or I want to put something on the schach. I don't have room to put, I have a bundle of something, and it would be a convenient place to put it on top of the schach. So I won't sit under there, but you know, I'll put it there. So there, I'm not dismantling the sukkah in any way, shape, or form. But I want to use the sukkah in that way. Is that also part of this prohibition or not? So the famous tshuva, which I didn't include here in the Maamar Kamos, but you can look it up, from the Oneg Yontif. Oneg Yontif is one of the great achronim who has a lot of interesting kiddushim. And he writes that the Isser applies even if you're not dismantling the sukkah at all. Any usage of the sukkah that is not for the mitzvah is under this prohibition of Chal Shem Shemayim al HaSukkah. And he goes as far as to say two very big chidushim, each of them are questionable and on their own right. One is very questionable, the other is even maybe more questionable, and that is that he wants to say that if it rains, we know you're not supposed to eat in the sukkah, you're nikra hedyot. So he says, not only are you nikra hedyot if it rains, but you're violating an issur because you're using the sukkah when you're not doing the mitzvah. So that's so you gotta run out right away because you can't choose to be machmir. It's not only that you'll be a hedyot, you'll be an avarim. So that's number one. And number two, he says, and this is also a very striking comment, that women are not allowed to go in the sukkah because they're not mitzvah in the mitzvah. So they're getting hanah from the from the sukkah and they're not mitzvah. So he says, wait 1 second. Married women, I'll allow it, because that's part of the teshu kein tadur of the husband. They can come in. But if you're not married, then you're not allowed in the sukkah. And that's his psak. The assumption of his psak is that women do not get schar from mitzvah sasei shazman grom, which is normally not the conventional way of understanding. Conventional way of that they do get schar, they're just not mitzvah, but that's a whole other shiur to discuss that possibility that maybe women are not really getting scar at all. But that's you know his assumption so they're not, it's not a mitzvah for them at all. But both these assumptions of the Oneg Yontif are questionable, and we normally assume like what the Taz says on the next page here, page 6. Where the Taz writes, he says, "Koshli had machshim in sukkah lachan, shechal alei shem shemayim, kein neim kan besukkah gan kein the hazmanu milsi kamo bekorban chagiga." In other words, he says the din in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramor writes that the sukkah only gets its kedusha if you sit in there the first one time. But if you set it aside as a sukkah and you still didn't use it yet, the sukkah is not nesser. So say you still didn't use the sukkah, say you went away. People are going away for Yom Tov, they're going to come back in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So the sukkah is built, it's ready, built and ready to go. And they're going to come back in the middle of Chol HaMoed. And then in the middle of Chol HaMoed, they come back, they still didn't use the sukkah, and then they say, hey, you know, I need a piece of wood for something, or I need this. So then, it could be that there won't be a prohibition because it was only Huzman; it wasn't used yet for the mitzvah. That's what the fact that it's hazmana, you just set aside, that's lav milsa for this purpose, and therefore won't be forbidden. So the Taz asks the kasha, but if you're comparing it to korban chagiga. So once you say Hareze a korban, once you take the animal and say this is a korban, so then all the restrictions already apply. So once you build a sukkah, well, why shouldn't it be the same thing if we're comparing the two, the korban to the sukkah? So he says, Hachanami name is sukkah, non lachalik benai, hakamil nehin hekesh lamechza, koshukin hendrachman of shin befeirish. The nearer the title is that the vada ein lachal lomar shakol adim sheyeshna bachagigi yu besukkah. He said it's not an exact comparison. The MK name is Sheishma Basukha Yusha Zaguf, Akorcha Dachra Markora, Chaga Sukhus Tasla Hashiva Yomim, the Dafke Bezer Yushovim Leinin Zain Yomim Sheikhusha Sasukha Lizman Zer Mochag, below Tito Mimena Lahanoscha, Shum Dova Lavata Mimena Kedusha Shalom. Zer Dafke Shovim Lodova. So the Taz says that the comparison is only that just like you can't use the once the korban is designated, you can't use it for your own purposes anymore. So too, the sukkah also cannot be used for your own purposes anymore. And then he goes on to explain, which I didn't put in the bracket, but in the words of the line that begins lachag in the middle lines. Al kein nira t'poshet shemash kosuv ein osim em ledover acher einu derech litol. He says that the Isser, which would be different than the Korban, you can't lean on the Korban. But here, he feels that it's not a full comparison, and it's only if you're detracting from the Sukkah by taking it away. And that's how we normally, and he has rayas for that as well, and that's how we normally assume, at least for sure we don't assume probably either of the assumptions of the Oneg Yontif, but this is what the Taz says. The Bir Halacha has an interesting comment on page 7. The Bir Halacha writes, Hazman of Milson Tzarek Ian,
he says,
See, normally, in order for something to be designated for a mitzvah and therefore be forbidden for other purposes, the prohibition has to start at the beginning of the day. And the beginning of the day is Ben Hashmashos, so twilight, when the day begins at the night before. So he says, because if, and then once the Issur started at the beginning of the day, then the Issur is there the whole day. But if the Issur doesn't start in the beginning of the day, then the Issur should only be during the time that you're actually using the sukkah for the mitzvah. So he says that, so he has the following question. He says, you know, if he must have caused me called him, I feel Yoshua Baklau, also at Kalamo, and the Mishra Steer Soul, who moves to the Nira, the Kalamo, Shem Kedush Kazmo, the Mitzvah, Allah Shosha Yoshua. He says, because, and then in the next point, he says, also in Stafik, Zerim Talon Kodim Ben Hashmoshos Rishon. In other words, the problem is that, Rav Shas discussed this, that the Issur should only begin if you're sitting in the sukkah at the beginning of the holiday. And therefore, then the Issur should set in. But if we hold Hazman Olav Milsa, so therefore, our sukkah is, where are we at the beginning of the holiday? We're in shul. So in the beginning of the holiday, we're in shul, so then how is it going to set in for the whole day? That's his question. I know in the Lower East Side, where my wife's family is from, they have communal sukkahs. So sometimes the first night, everyone wants to get started quickly, so they make a minyan in the sukkah. So I said, oh, so there me ashev the kash of the bir halacha. But I don't know, somehow you'll come up with another yeshiva for the rest of Klal Yisrael who doesn't do this. Now, the Gemara says in Sukkah an interesting point on Pesach Beis on the next page, and that is Hadar Rabbanan Ganvach Sukkahs Goyim, Sukkahs Noshim, Sukkahs Behema, Sukkahs Kusim, Sukkah Mikol Motum Kshera Kovah Shatei Mesuchechas Kehalacha. The sukkah has to be made that the schach was put up for shade purposes. For shade. But what if it was put up for shade, but not necessarily for the mitzvah? They say, for example, somebody puts up, maybe even a Gentile, makes a sukkah because he likes to sit outside in the shade. So he's putting it up for the shade, but not for the mitzvah. So is there a requirement for the mitzvah, or is it enough for the shade? So here the Gemara says, and there's a lot of discussion on this point, and that is that if sukkah is goyim, then the question was, it means that the goy actually put up the schach, or it was put up for the goy. Because some point out, what does sukkah's behemah mean? The behemah put up the schach, or it was put up for the behemah? But either way, there's a discussion whether goy, like if a goy put on the schach, is that kosher or not? Or do you have to pick it up and put it down, etc. So if you learn that sukkah's goy means the goy actually made this put the schach down, so then it's mashma that the goy could do it. But if it just means that it was made for a goy, so maybe it was made by Yisrael for the goy, it was a Jew, it was a carpenter, and he's making a sukkah for goyim to sit in the shade, and now a Jew in the middle of sukkahs wants to use that sukkah for the mitzvah, but it wasn't made for the mitzvah. That's clear. It wasn't made for the mitzvah. So either it was made by the goy, or it was made for the goy, but it certainly wasn't made for the mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's still good as long as it was made for shade. But if it was made for some other purpose, it was made that somebody just built some structure because they wanted to put things on top of the structure. It wasn't made for shade at all. So then that would be an invalid sukkah. So the Rashba in Beitza makes a comment on page 9. He says, "Ot kashuli had the kaimel of the sukkah's ganvach, the sukkah's rakvash v'ksheva, lama chaylo le'kidusha kol shiva, ki meishe nichna zeh shom v'ochol sham pamachas, o yoshin shom tokolo, So the Rashba is machadesh that the idea that sukkah has shem shamayim is not something that is a requirement. Meaning, he says that if you have a sukkah of goyim, sukkah is ganvach, so it's a kosher sukkah, but it could be that it doesn't, it's sukkah da alma, meaning it doesn't have, it's like a regular hut and it's kosher, but it doesn't have the kedusha of sukkah. In other words, the kedusha sukkah is not something that's a requirement of the heksha sukkah. In other words, most sukkahs are made l'shem mitzvah, and they're made, and therefore the chal shem shamayim. You have to get out of the bir halachas ha'ara, but whatever way you get out of it, it's chal shem shamayim. But a sukkah's ganvach is a kosher sukkah, but since it was made by a goy or for a goy, it wouldn't have this din of chal shem shamayim, and it wouldn't necessarily have that the restrictions that we spoke of before. Okay, so that's a basic idea of what the sukkah, this halacha is. But I'd like to now go on to another venue and try to explain to you how I think perhaps we can understand this comparison between sukkah and a korban. Besides the technical halacha here of the chal shem shamayim and the iser shtamshus and what together is in shtamshus and whether it applies to the tzchak, whether it's funos, all the technicalities, try to understand perhaps in a deeper level, perhaps the connection that exists between a sukkah and a korban. What is this idea? Besides the fact that they're both forbidden to use for other purposes, but perhaps one could understand a deeper understanding of what the comparison is. So I'd like to begin with a citation from the Sefer Beis Elokim. The Sefer Beis Elokim, written by the Mabit, and it's a classic Sefer of Moshe Ben Yosef of Trani. It's a classic Sefer about tshuva and fila, and a lot of interesting ideas in this sefer. So in his discussion of tshuva, he says something which, you know what, maybe take a look first on page 13 because it's more concise in the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, and then we'll come back to the Beis Elokim. He says like this. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on page 13, "Va'od yispal ba'al ha'tshuva el Hashem limchos ka'av b'sha'av t'che'anon chatosov k'she'yachpots bo yiratzeu v'yetalo k'ashen mulchoto." He says when a person sins and he becomes a ba'al tshuva, so a ba'al tshuva, besides doing tshuva, has to be mispalel to Hashem for what he calls, what the Mabit calls ritzoi, which means like this. See, a person could sin. Say it's more understandable, say, between Menodom and Chavero. You have a person who did something wrong to you, and he wronged you in a certain manner. And then he comes over to you, and he asks forgiveness. So you forgive him. You forgive him. But you really don't want to have anything to do anymore with this individual. Because even though you forgive him, but the experience was soured the relationship in such a way that you really don't want to have any connection with this individual. So there's mechila, there's tshuva, but there's no ritzui. Meaning it's not going to be the same anymore. You're going to go your way, he's going to go his way, and that's it. So part of the tshuva process, says that Rabbeinu Yonah, is he should daven that when you did averus throughout the year and you got mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it shouldn't just be mechila. It should be ritzui. Meaning that you want that the same relationship that existed between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the avera should exist now in the same way. And that's the higher level, not just tshuva, but ritzui. And this is, says the, if you take a look in the Gemara here on page 14, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we went through the period of the Yom HaNaroim, where every day we were saying the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim many times. So the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim begins Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Machanon. What's the two Hashems, Hashem, Hashem? Says the Gemara, Ani hu kodim sheyechta ha'adam, va'ani hu la'achar sheyechta ha'adam v'yaseh tshuva. So Hashem, Hashem means I'm Hashem before the sin, I'm Hashem after the sin. So what does that mean? So the Mabit in the Beis Elokim writes on page 12, the first arrow. Onef shalafarash anihu kodim sheyechta ha'adam v'anihu la'acha sheyechta v'yoshuv ki mi sheshov v'tshuva al-chatov Hashem yizbarach mavir aleim v'hoyu kulo hoyu. ומצרצה עלו כאילו לא חוטה מעולם. כי היה מספיק שיעבור לחטוסו ולא ינישהו עליהם מינס רחמים שלו. Whereas it could have been that Hashem will say, I'll forgive you, I'm not going to punish you, but you know, we part ways. I don't want to have a close relationship with you anymore. In other words, that's not part of the mechila process, is necessarily that there should be that initial relationship be restored. That in other words, Hashem says, I will afford you the ability to bring me back to you in the same way, the same relationship that we had prior to the Avera. And that's what he calls Merutzim or Ritzui. And then he quotes a Gemara in Sota, the Gemara in Sota on page 15 of Mem Beis of an Aleph, where the Gemara discusses Amar of Yirmi of Araba, Arba Kitos Ein Mekablos Pnei Shechina. That there are four people that are not Mekabel Shechina. Kat Leitzim, people scoffers, Kat Hanifim, people who try to flatter people who are sinners, kachkarim, people who are excessive liars, and kat mesapri loshen hara, the people who speak loshen hara. So what does that mean? So the Rabbeinu, so the Mabit of the Beis Elokim in the third arrow says, what does it mean they're not mekabel pnei hashechina? So he says it means even after they do tshuva, it's not so easy for them to restore the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they'll do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive them. But the restoration of the relationship is not going to be easy. We're not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be much more difficult than it would have been if for other Aveiros. So that's what it means, Einu Mekabel Pnei Hashechina, meaning they'll more easily get Mechila, Slicha Vekapara, but Ritzoi not. Well, so if you take a look in the, now quoting from the Vilna Gaon, on page 16, the Vilna Gaon wrote Perushim to many different svarim of Tanakh and very different things, and he makes a famous comment about Sukkos. And the comment deals with, you know, a very basic question regarding Sukkos, is that why do we celebrate Sukkos when we do? And we're all familiar with the words of the Torah that say that really we should have celebrated Sukkos right after Pesach, when we came out of Mitzrayim, and that's when we went into the Sukkos, into the Anone HaKavod. So we'd have two Yom Tovim back to back. Maybe that would have been the right way to do it. Because Sukkos, either the Anone HaKavod or the Sukkos Mamish, accompanied the Jewish people 40 years in the Midbar for the whole year. So it was nothing that happened. So if you want to say, okay, so let's celebrate it at the first occasion or the first, you know, that it happened. So right after Pesach, when we came out, we'll do it then. But so the Torah says, well, you can't do it then because the weather's too nice, and people are going to think that we're not doing it. It's not going to be nikkur that we're doing it l'shem mitzvah. So you have to do it. So you can't do it in the winter because no one will do it. So do it a little bit. It'll get a little cold, not too cold, and therefore, you know, we can do the mitzvah, but it's not noticeable. It'll be noticeable that we're doing it l'shem mitzvah because it's already, the summer's over, and it's not the time necessarily to have picnics outside. But that doesn't explain the specific date of Tesvav Tishrei. Right, Tesvav Nisan we understand. We came out of Mitzrayim. Tesvav Nisan we understand very clearly what it's all about. But what about Tesvav Tishrei? Nothing happened on Tesvav Tishrei. So why in the world are we celebrating? So he writes, "Zem Yiturat Sham Shehikshu Lama Anachto Osim Sukkos for Tishrei Kevin Shum Neged Hekef Anonei Akovet Hayoroi Lasos Benisan Ki Benisan Hayat Chilas Hekef Anonim." So he writes that when Klal Yisrael made the Egel, Nistalku Ha'anonim, and some say it's based on the pasuk by Aaron Kifaruah, by the Egel it says that Klal Yisrael Paruah, they were exposed. What do you mean they were exposed? So exposed, someone would say the Pshat is based on this Gra, that the Anonim were no longer hovering over them. So that's Kifaruah. And then they weren't returned until after the Mishkan began to be built. So he says like this. So Moshe Yorad by Yom Kippurim. He says Moshe came down on Yom Kippur after Hashem said Salachti Kidvarecha. He forgave them for the Chet Egel. He comes down. Umochar as Yom Kippurim. The next day by Yakel Moshe, he gathers the people together, right? By Yaakov Moshe, Rashi says, "Mimocharas Yom Kippurim, Tetziva al Malachas Hamishkan," and he tells them that we have to build a Mishkan and we should bring the Nedavos to the Mishkan. V'zehaya Biral of Tishrei. Biral of Tishrei is when he tells them that they have to bring the Nedavos for the Malachas Hamishkan. Uchziv ha'am hivil od Nedava baboker baboker, and it says they brought the Nedavos. The pasuk says baboker baboker, meaning it took 2 days for them to bring all the materials. So that was Yud Beis Tishrei, Yud Gimel Tishrei. Have a Yud Gimel Tishrei. If Yud Al Tishrei notul kol chacham leiv, then the craftsmen took all the materials and gathered it together on the 14th. Es hazav b'minyan u'mishkal u'v'tesvav hischilu lasos, and the tesvav they began building the Mishkan. On Tesvav, for Oz Chazu Anonei Kovod. The Tach Anu Osim Sukkos for Tesvav the Tishrei. Oh, so what's Pshat in this Gra? I think the Pshat, as someone explained in this Gra, is that like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them on Yom Kippur. Salachti Kidvarecha. So what's Sukkos all about? The return of the Anonei Kovod. So what is that? That's exactly what the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Marbid are talking about. That we don't want slicha mechila v'kapara. We want to restore the original relationship that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ritzoy that we had originally, the anonei hakova, that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't just want to say he's not going to punish us, but he's not going to really care for us anymore. We want that closeness. So therefore, the coming back of the anonei hakovod on Tezvav Tishrei, which was the specific date of the returning, is the specific time when the Ritzoy took place, and hence that's the what Sukkos is all about. There's another word from the Vilna Gaon that I didn't put in the packet, and that is the Vilna Gaon explains, the Chazal say in the Mishnah, that what is the idea that if it rains on Sukkos, so if it rains on Sukkos, it's a bad simon. Or Hashulchan says only if it rains in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, it's not a bad simon, because it always rains in the Chutz La'aretz, so you don't have to worry if it's rain or it will rain or whatever. So the mashal in the Mishnah is given to a person, an Eved, who has a cup of wine. Now you have to realize, Bizman Chazal, wine was very strong. And if you didn't dilute it with water, then you wouldn't be able to drink it. There's a shayla whether you could even make a Barakir Goffin on such a wine. Because it's our wine today is much weaker wine, so we don't dilute our wine. But then it was very strong, You had to put three quarters of water to one part wine. You had to put so says the Vilna Gaon like this: Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the Yemei Hadin. So comes sometimes the din comes out very strong, like strong wine. So Sukkot is when we're getting friendly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when things are more, you know, less din, more rachamim, you know, tshuva me'ava, a lot of different things. So which kiviyachol we're being mematic with the din, we're making the din less severe, and therefore what? We're ki'ilu taking water and pouring it into the cup of wine to dilute it. But if it rains, that's ki'ilu Hashem is saying, he's taking the water that the Eved wants to put into the wine and he's throwing it on the floor. Because he says, no, I don't want the din to be you know, less intensified. And that's what it's about. It's interesting, the Meshech Chachma points out that the Pasuk in Mishpatim, the first time when the Yom Tovim are mentioned, and Sukkot is referred to as Chag HaOsif. It's not referred to as Chag HaSukkot till Parshas Kisisa. So the Meshech Chachma on page 18 has an idea that he says that according to the Vilna Gaon, it makes a lot of sense. Because the idea of having a holiday, Chag HaSukkos, is only shayach when? After the Chet HaEgel. When this whole thing happened, that they lost their anonym and they came back. Before the Chet HaEgel, there was no Yom Tov for Sukkos. Why should there be a Yom Tov for Sukkos on the 50th? Chag HaOsif, it was a Yom Tov for gathering in the produce. But it's only, says the... So therefore, the name Sukkos is not going to be... is not going to appear until Parshas Kisisa, because Parshas Kisisa is where the Chet HaEgel is. So afterwards, when they're forgiven, so then it can be called Chag HaSukkos, but in Parshas Mishpatim, it is referred to as Chag HaOsif. If you look in the Drashas of Chazam Sofer, he also has a word like this as well. Turn now to page 21, where this is the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon Siddur, and the Perush of the Siach Yitzchak, he has different Perushim on the Gros Siddur. And in this Perush, he says, what does it mean, Atabu Chartanu Mikol Ha'amim? Ahavta Osanu V'Raksisa Bonu. So if you read the whole two paragraphs here, he says, Atabu Chartanu is Pesach. That's when we became the Am HaNifchar. Ahavta osanu is Shavuos, because that's what Hashem gave us the Torah. He wanted to share His wisdom with us. Ratzisa banu, when you look in the bottom paragraph, Inyan haratzon matzanu achar hakas, k'moshe arba Yaakov v'Esav, v'isi panecha b'kiros p'nei Elokim v'atzitzeni. That after kas is ritzui. And based on what we said before, that in other words, you can understand it on a deeper level based on the Shari Tshuva and the Mabit, that Ritzah is not just Mechila, but it's the, and put together, so some put together, I think some told me Rosh Hashanah in a Sefer, has like that, and others put together this Grah with the other Grah, meaning the idea being that this is the time of Ritzah, that not only are we getting the Kapara, but we're getting back, we're restoring the initial relationship we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are two different levels. There's Mechila. You know, there's a third level I put in here in the packet, if you want to take a look on page 20 from the Rebbeinu Bechaya, and that's the lowest level. That's when somebody asks Mechila, and you say, oh, you know, it's okay, but you never say Yemochel. That Rebbeinu Bechaya says is what happened between Yosef and the brothers. Rebbeinu Bechaya makes the very powerful comment that Yosef never forgave his brothers. And that's why we had the Asara Harugei Malchus, who were punished. Some say it was a Gilgal of the Asara Shvatim, the 10 great sages that we speak about on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av were punished, or a Gilgal, however way you want to understand it, but something to do with the chait of Mechiras Yosef, of the 10 brothers that sold their their brother. Because even though he said, don't worry, it was good, it turned out okay, but he never said he's Mochelman. So that's the bottom level. And the next level is Mechila, and the level above that is Ritzur. Oh, so now I'm going to say two last things here. Now I want to answer the kasha. What was the original kasha? The original kasha was, what does sukkah have to do with a korban? So if you look in that Siach Yitzchak, and you look at the pasuk in Vayikra, and you'll understand everything very partial. Now you understand, look what the pasuk says. The pasuk is made to order. Page 22. The samach yadol rosh ha'olav nirtzal olachah peralav. Now the point of a korban is not just mechila. It's nirtzalo. It's ritzur. It's when we bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's ki'ilu, we are supposed to be, like the Ramban says on the Mizbeach, it brings back that closeness, that relationship that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had that special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's now brought back, and that's what ritzur is, and that's what sukkah is all about, the return of the Anon HaKadosh. So those are the different levels. The level of what? No mechila, mechila, and ritzur. Those are the three levels, and that's what a korban achieves. So now we understand why sukkah is compared to a korban, because sukkah represents that same potency of not just kapara, but ritzur, of that the sukkah represents in terms of the return of the anovim korban. Oh. So this summer, I came across another knage to this idea. I was they had this thing, while you had this thing in a retreat in Orlando, in Champions Gate, if you heard of that. So they bring a library with them. So they have this Sefer Rinas Yitzchak. So I needed something to learn, you know, between the aliyahs. And I saw the Sefer Rinas Yitzchak. And I said, oh, I have to remember that at Sukkot this year I have to say over this Zvor. And it's also from the Vilna Gaon. Also from the Vilna Gaon. And this, the first Vilna Gaon for Shir Hashirim is more commonly known. This Vilna Gaon is not as commonly known. It's also from his parish in Shir Hashirim. I didn't zerex it from the original, but you'll see it quoted here. And he says like this. The Vilna Gaon writes, he says, right, we all daven every morning. We say what? Ava Rabba Aftanu. The Betkila Bimeha Ovos. This is the Gra talking now. Moed Tesein Mitzrayim Hei Avoscha Rabba Aleinu. We start off with the Ovos. Things were great. God loved us. The Ovos, great. V'chakak Sha'asu Ha'egel Amra Achalel Son Karaga. I'm going to destroy them. And then they needed Mechila. Achaka Chamalta Aleinu. Right? Hashem had Rachmanis, and he was Mochel. The Salata Lava Mosheinu. Ki Achem La Achar Akas. But then, says the Vilna Gaon on page 24, the Omar Gedola Visera. So what does that mean? Chemla Gedola Visera. What does Chemla? I mean, I never would have thought of it. I daven every day, but I never thought of this. Well, what's the chemla gedola v'seira chamalt aleinu? Perish sheishpat aleinu od yoser tova mirishona shenasata luchos v'tzivis lasos hamishkan yoscha shochei beinena shelo yolaru mikedo. He says like this, that sometimes, I'll give you a mashal. Maybe it's a good mashal, maybe it's not a good mashal. I'll give you a mashal. I've seen this, unfortunately, very much unfortunate. I've seen this in different communities. That Rachmana Litzlan, there was a fire in the shul. Big shuls over the years, different communities. And the shul was a nice shul, but then when they rebuild it, it's like off the charts, you know. It's like they build a real spitz, you know, like that. You know, so... So sometimes, in other words, when there's a fight, and then there's, like Rabbi Cohen said in the Sikhas Musa, sometimes after a fight of two people, the relationship comes back, it becomes even stronger than it was before. So So he says like this, that as a result of the Chet HaEgel, we got things that we wouldn't have had before. That was, it wasn't just Ritzoy. It was Ritzoy plus. Chem Lo Gedolov said, what did we get? We got the Luchas Shnios, and we got the Mishkan. In other words, we got this Mishkan that maybe, perhaps, depending upon the different shittas about the Mishkan, before the Egel, after the Egel, but it could be that the Mishkan we wouldn't have gotten. In other words, it was a kapar for the Chet HaEgel. That opportunity to have a mokum for the Shechina, we might not have had if it had not been for the Chet HaEgel. So we got, and Luchas Shnios, so what's the Luchas Shnios? We have Luchas Rishonos, so what was the Luchas? So he has a whole discussion here based on the, you can read, we're not going to read it inside now. There's a famous Beis HaLevi that says that, in the Drushas Beis HaLevi, that says that originally there was no such thing as Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh and the Torah Shebechsav were all written down on the Luchos Rishonos. In some way that, shortened version that it could possibly be written down in. And then after the Chet HaEgel, so the Gemara says in Erevin, if there wouldn't have been a Chet HaEgel, then the Jewish people will never have been vulnerable to the Goyim. After the Chet HaEgel were vulnerable. So therefore there was a Hashash that if the Torah would be written down, the Torah Shebal Peh, the Goyim would copy it. So therefore, when the Luchos Shnios were given, it was given oral tradition. So it only should be for us. And there's a whole discussion about that. And his raya is basically, because the pasuk says in Kisisa, "Ksov luchas adavarim ha'ela, ki al pi hadavarim ha'ela parashim chabrisas Yisrael." And Rashi says, you see from there that dvarim shebal peh you can't write down. So why didn't Hashem tell us that in Yisrael when He first gave us the Torah? The answer is because then it was written down. It was only later that it was. So the whole idea of having Torah Shebal Peh, and he says that the Jewish people now became the klaf of the Torah Shebal Peh, and it's our input and our chashivas and our pilpul shel Torah and our chidushei Torah. All that came about only because of the negativity of the Chet HaEgel, and there we got. So that, says Rav Sarotsky in explaining the Vilna Gaon, is the chemla gedola v'seira. So that I want to say is the fourth level. Is the, again, the level of not getting mechila, ritzoi, and this is ritzoi plus all the fringe benefits that came about from this tragedy of the Chet HaEgel, but now it's chemla gedola v'seira chamalto avinu. And that's what. So perhaps this gives us a new perspective of the halacha, one aspect of halacha, hilchos sukkah, together with the hashkafa of what it's all about. And we should take advantage of the opportunity of sukkahs. Sukkahs is considered the closest time where we're at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hasidic Sfarim quote the pasuk in Shir Shirim, "Heviani Hamelach Hadarav," that the king is inviting me into his chamber. But it's not like a relationship, you know, sometimes you meet people, you meet them in the elevator, you meet them in the street. Happenstance. Nothing is happenstance, but, you know, it's back right. When you invite somebody over to your house, you want that the relationship shouldn't just be happenstance. You want to be kovei hazman, that we should spend time together. So that's what Sukkot is. Hashem is inviting us into his house, into his heart, and then Shemini Atzeres says, no, we want one more day, and that's the relationship shouldn't be a relationship of Bechroi, should be a relationship of Kvias, and therefore ultimately that should enrich us. And I think someone told me, Rabbi Brandon said, oh, but this is the idea that this closeness brings ultimately is Matzim Chaseinu, and I want to wish everyone the tremendous simcha. The rest of the sukkahs and the year that follows should have the spillover of all the simcha from sukkahs to invigorate our lives of good health and simcha throughout the year as well. Mostly you can keep the packets for you to keep. Hope they're useful.